Hey everybody, welcome to the Mystic Oracle Radio Show. This is Sharon Jeffers and I'm going to be your host for the next 55 minutes. And we are going to be talking about astrology and planetary influences, and I'm going to leave the last half hour for readings for people to call in. You won't be able to call in. I have a guest with me today and I'll tell you about her in a couple of minutes. So we're going to be having a conversation, and if you do have questions while Kay and I are talking, you can email to me at starofthemagi@earthlink.net. That's starofthemagi@earthlink.net, and ask your question. If you have a question for me personally regarding me looking at your cards in the Mystic Science here, I will save those questions for the second half of the show. So if you haven't listened to my show before, I want to invite you to check out my website, starofthemagi.com, because this show is usually based on this mystic oracle that reveals that the playing card deck was originally used for timekeeping. And it is associated to the calendar, and because we have a birthday on one of those 365 days in the year, we have a birth card in the deck, and that birth card has a 13-card life path, which reveals many, many, many things to us. So that's what this show is dedicated to, is making this information available, and for me to make myself available as well. Before I begin, I just want to mention a few things, and then I'm going to introduce my guest to you. I'm going to be in Las Vegas January 15th through the 17th, and I'm going to be doing a radio show there, and I would love to find that. Here it is. It's the Cattell Stardate 2000 Talk radio show. It's an hour show. It's a live in-studio show. And that's on the 16th of January at noon. And then I am going to be available that weekend for in-person sessions in Las Vegas. So if you're there and that's something that interests you, send me an email or call me at 323-850-0812 after the show. And talk to me about that. I may be doing a book signing there, too. Then I'm doing a book signing at the Mystic Journey Bookstore in Venice Beach, California, on the 23rd of January at 7 p.m. And this is for my new book, Love and Destiny. And then I'm going to be at the Bodhi Tree on Valentine's Day at 2:30 p.m. from 2:30 to 4 doing a book signing. So I just wanted to get that out there because sometimes I forget to do that. So now I'm going to introduce to you a very dear friend of mine who we met on Kauai. I met her when I first moved to Kauai in 1998, and she is a soul purpose astrologer. And Kay moved back to L.A., 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we sort of came back here from the magical, mystical island of Kauai around the same time. And Kay is an amazing astrologer. She really has a unique and wonderful perspective and understanding and perception of the planets. And I'm always full of curiosity whenever we get into these conversations. And she's an author, and you know, at the end of our conversation, we'll give you her website information and stuff so that you can check her out further. So, Kay, thank you for being here with me today.
I'm happy that we can do this together, Sharon.
I know. I don't often have guests because I like to stay focused on the cards because I know so many people that are listening to the show are into that. And because there is so much planetary influence in this oracle, I know that everything that you share, either for people who are interested in the cards or not, are going to gain a lot of value out of this, because there's some major stuff going on in our neighborhood called the solar system, isn't there?
It's probably the biggest changes in our lifetime, which is very exciting that we were clever enough to choose to be here as this is happening.
Well, of course we would. We want to have the most fun.
That's right.
Get the most bang for our buck, as the diamond would say.
That's right.
So what's happening? Because I know something's going on with Pluto, and Pluto is, you know, even though they denounced it as a planet, whoever they are.
Right.
Hello. What's going on with Pluto?
Well, Pluto has made a major transition element-wise, and of course then also that influences the house area on the zodiac. Pluto has been in Sagittarius from 1995 till January 26th of 2008. So we had that 13 years with Pluto in Sag, which is a fire sign, which is basically, we're going to say it's working from the neck up.
Uh-huh.
Helping our conscious minds open up and find out what's the real truth. Find out where are we in denial. Find out the places that need to be emerged as a clearing as we're going to higher consciousness. So we can look collectively this last 13 years about the exposure. Individuals, corporations, countries, and see now that it's going into its next phase since Pluto, as of November 27th, has entered Capricorn now for 15 years. We had a little tiny preview, January 26th of this year through June 14th. Now, Pluto works with the collective consciousness. So that could be conscious or unconscious. Pluto works with a field of consciousness. So it's very hard to determine how this energy is actually influencing our personal life without doing a review. Pluto in Capricorn is the collective consciousness being influenced in the presentation of the individual, the corporation, the government, the organization in the world. This is basically the way that we dress ourselves up for a public presentation. So what's happening now, as you'd mentioned earlier, Sharon, in a conversation, that we have a lot of exposure of corruption, and it actually looks like they're going to pay their dues. Look at that long haul we had with O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
And finally,
The
nail hit the board.
Yeah.
So this is now with Pluto in Capricorn, Earth sign, for us physically, then it's going to be from the neck down. We're going to have to pay a whole lot more attention to our physical body, our physical structure, our physical well-being. In the same sense, we're going to have to pay a whole lot more attention to our structures, government, organizations, corporations, households, and there will be a lot more emotion involved now, because anytime we're working with Earth, Pluto in Capricorn is Earth, we're also working with the opposite sign, which is Cancer, which is water, ruled by the moon, and influencing home and family. So this is a restructuring from the greatest level of potential for individuals, families, communities, nations to do exactly what is happening right now.
Well, Pluto is the energy of transformation and transmutation, yeah?
Yes.
And, you know, in the cards right now, in the three-month cycle that this country's in anyway, I haven't looked at any other countries. I'm not sure I'd even know how. But in this country, the Nine of Spades is in Jupiter right now, and the Nine of Spades is a powerful card of initiation. I think it may be the most powerful card of initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And that initiation comes through endings.
Mm-hmm.
Things that no longer are serving must end. And how many shysters have been busted lately in the, you know, in the stock market and the investment world and, you know, hedge funds and this thing and that thing. It's like, wow, it's one thing after another. Everything's breaking down. And when I see the Nine of Spades, I know that things are going to break down and so they can be recreated. And so it's the same thing with the Pluto. Yes, that it goes underneath. I always think of Pluto as like landmines. Every time I think of Pluto, I think of landmines because I feel like Pluto goes underneath the consciousness, into the subconscious and the unconscious realms, and then brings things up to the surface.
Well, Pluto is exactly, Sharon, as you're saying, it's dealing with the very depths of consciousness. And basically, it doesn't bring things to the surface. It opens up the consciousness of humanity that we can discover what's hidden. And so it's through the conscious mind of humanity that we have the opportunity to awaken when we're in the field of Pluto's energy. And this wonderful aspect of having Jupiter in the spades, because Jupiter is a neutral energy, and it will expand whatever we are thinking, whatever we are feeling. So in this time of transformation and transmutation, personally, with the Nine of Spades, whatever we're thinking, that's what we're going to get, and we're going to get it in spades. We're going to get it bigger. Whatever we're feeling, that's what we're going to get in spades, bigger. So this is a critical time to really manage our thinking, because it's going to increase and have direct ramifications very quickly and very intensely.
Well, I think people are experiencing that more, that when they think something, it's manifesting immediately.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting to see people becoming more aware of that dynamic. I'm pretty sure it's always been going on because I've experienced it for a long time. And I think for some people that's a new experience. I think for many people and probably a lot of people listening to this radio show, you know, that experience is familiar. So what about... what about then, what's your view of the people that are operating in a more, how do I say this? You know, I went to see the movie, last Sunday I went to see the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake of the 1951 movie.
Wow.
It came out with Keanu Reeves, who plays a very good alien.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably a real suitable role for Keanu. And, you know, he was great, and the movie was, I liked the movie. And I came home, and the next night I went on Netflix, and I watched the movie, the original movie from 1951. Now, the thing that was so striking to me is that people were so much more civil in 1951 than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing the way the Secretary of Defense was depicted, and he came in and he sat down like he was sitting down with another gentleman and spoke with respect and curiosity. We're curious about your mission. And in the present day version, it was like there was so much fear, shoot first, kill them, then find out what they were doing here. And it was fascinating to see the projection of society in these two different ways.
That is a fascinating research, Sharon. That's wonderful that you did that.
What?
That's
fascinating research. I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that for that reason. I knew I had seen that movie sometime. I mean, I was too, you know, I the movie came out before I was old enough to watch a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, to do that, I did it because I was curious of what the original was like. I always like to go to the source.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, I just saw a remake of a movie made in 1951. What was that one like? But the thing that I mean, things were a little different here and there, and of course special effects are way different. But they did try to keep it a little funky, the new one. But the thing really that was so striking was the difference in attitude and demeanor in the people.
Mm-hmm.
It was really quite striking and shocking because you would think that we'd be more sophisticated now and more curious and less fearful. And, I mean, they're both just movies, but I felt like they were pretty right on the money.
Well, I think it's a fascinating aspect that is involved here, and I think that what we might consider, because with Uranus in Pisces from 2003 till 2010, Uranus opens up the neural pathways in our physical body as well as the expansion that's been going on with the cyberspace world. And I think one thing that we might take into consideration with what these two movies represent is in America, particularly since I teach in Japan and also in Europe, there's a big difference in the way the media represents incidents and experiences in the United States. And I think from that, we could determine that there's a great influence to keep the fear-based reality going that is not nearly so strong in the rest of the world. There is a lot of fear in the world, and a lot of it is based around the choices that are being made in America by the current administration. And if we really can hear through an accurate reporting media about the high-level quality increased consciousness that is waking up and making other choices that are not reported, they're not put in the movies, and they're not on the everyday news. But Pachamama Alliance has been working for years with Ecuador, and they have a presentation where they have so many organizations listed that are doing what we would call good or supporting life in a sustainable way on the planet, that it would take over 24 hours just to run the credits on these people.
Mm-hmm.
Just
no,
their name.
Yeah. But the thing I'm curious about is how, and this is what got me into the movie track, was, you know, when you talk about the illumination or the awakening of the consciousness, it's like, what about the unconscious? What about the people that are seemingly locked into that fear space?
I think that what we've seen demonstrated is polarizing consciousness will generate a condition. If you take a rubber band and stretch it, it's only going to go so far. One end or the other has to give up. And when we polarize in consciousness through values or cultural conditions or societal beliefs, wherever we're coming from, there's a point where one end or the other is going to release because that's what evolution is all about. And so the extremes, I think without a Bush, we might not have an Obama. So each serves, each end of the circle serves, as does this change that you've noticed in this movie in the last 50 years in presentation in the media and the entertainment. So that if we can know that there's the universal laws of physics apply to all life, regardless of whether it's entertainment or a daily choice, and these are the laws that are calling the evolution of our society to a greater level of expression. And I feel like both you and I are blessed, Sharon, because we have some powerful tools. The destiny cards and soul purpose astrology are powerful tools to help us have a greater contact with our own unconscious and the collective unconscious, and then all of us learn and grow together. So it's a powerful time.
Well, it's certainly an interesting time.
It is.
Southern California shut down yesterday because of snow. So that was interesting. I know. I do look at the cards in that way because to me, in the mystic science of the cards, which is, I really prefer to call them that, I look at the hearts and the diamonds. I mean, the diamonds teach us value and integrity. You know, and there's an awakened side and an unconscious side to everything, and astrology and numerology and the cards, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like seeing the low side of the diamond is the crook, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Clever, 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 clever. And the high side of the diamond is the one who's giving to enhance the lives of the other people. So
mm-hmm.
I'm always curious about how, you know, what's going on in the planetary influences because, number one, I've always, since I was little, when I was in the third grade, I took I went to public school, but I took an astronomy class at the Seventh-day Adventist Church after school.
Uh-huh.
And I had a telescope, and I was probably like E.T., you know, looking for my home, but I spent many nights on the roof. I grew up in Southern California watching the stars and things flying around the sky and whatnot at night, and my neighbor, who I thought was building a Frankenstein, but that's another story. But, you know, I feel like, I've always felt like, you know, this is the neighborhood and we need to know who the neighbors are. And one of the things I love about the way you approach astrology is how you do speak of the energies of the planet. Because, you know, on the conscious, awakened, enlightened side of things, the breath which they emanate and the depth from where they come is amazing, and I feel like you really tap into that. And then how they affect us just as dramatically on the unconscious side, which is, I was telling you earlier, what I talked about last week when I was talking about Neptune and all the people that made such interesting choices with Neptune. And the thing I told you earlier, which I forgot to say last week, was, you know, one of the dark sides of Neptune, the shadow side, is deception. And the planet got its name because of a lie, because the man who named the planet Neptune, I can't remember his name, I have to look it up, I'll write it on my blog, but he wanted that name for the planet, and so he went to the association of whoever named the planets and told them that it had already been agreed upon and authorized by the French something. And so they said, okay, and they named the planet Neptune, but he was lying. And I thought, see, you know, there are no secrets if our eyes are open. Everything is already doing what it's doing.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't, you know.
Well, and see, Neptune right now is in Aquarius. So Neptune from 1998 till 2012 in Aquarius. So if we look at Neptune as the receiver of universal consciousness, that can be assimilated and revealed in the cognitive mind, which is a translation factor using the frontal lobe of the brain, then that's part of our huge explosion in cyberspace and in electronics and this amazing pace at which these items have been created since 1998.
Well, and Neptune rules Aquarius. I mean,
Neptune rules Pisces and Uranus rules
Aquarius. Yeah.
And see, we do have a crossover there, Sharon, with the Neptune-Uranus thing, which is quite fascinating. So right now we have Neptune, which rules Pisces, the spiritual power, and it is in Aquarius, which works through the electromagnetic field of this planet and our universe and our own physical bodies. Then we have Uranus, which is the gatekeeper and the door opener for the Aquarian energy, and that right now is in Pisces and has been since 2003 till 2010. And so the interchange between the 11th house of Aquarius energy, which is humanitarian, worldwide contributions and awareness of the brotherhood, the 12th house, the Pisces, spiritual power, spiritual potential, and also the home of the illusions or the delusions based on our own perception or our experience. So the crossover between those two houses right now and the planetary configurations is so profound. And the thing that is happening here, Pluto in Aquarius, Uranus in Pisces will not happen again for 84 years. Neptune in Aquarius will not happen again for 146 years. Very rare moments right now. And Pluto in Capricorn will not happen again for 246 years. So this is really...
So Pluto's in Capricorn.
Yes, Earth.
Capricorn.
Uh-huh.
And Neptune is in Aquarius.
Aquarius, air.
And Uranus is in Pisces.
Water.
Wow, they're just lined right up there.
They are. And from my perception, if we take that view of the universal perception, that view that you've been looking at since you were 7 years old on that rooftop, if we look at it with the meta view, then literally the universe is providing every possible way for our conscious mind, the frontal lobe of our brain, to open up and perceive the reality that is really ours, not the minimized version that we have been programmed to believe regardless of what culture or language or any other thing that's influenced it, and step into our essence, step into our magnificence and our brilliance by stepping into the reality of how energy flows and functions through all life. There is no separation. We're making it up. So if we want to make up our world and fill it full of fear and go through all of the drama and the trauma about the illusion, this illusionary currency that we've created, and put our life into this as a trust that this makes us safe, this makes us valuable, this will keep us healthy. So these conditions that are breaking down, we made them up.
Yeah, we've made everything up.
Exactly. And so if we look at the aspect that happens, the chrysalis has to break open if the butterfly is going to emerge. Humanity has been in an amnesia, a chrysalis of amnesia. It has to bust open if we're going to have the true life that we are destined to have in these incredible body temples that house already a community of 70 trillion cells. That's the ascension, waking up and realizing there is no separation, waking up and realizing how we have minimized our reality, and if we choose to eat fear for Cheerios every day for breakfast, we get that result. If we choose to live with the truth of the universe that is orchestrated by powers beyond our conscious mind, we get that experience in safe, gracious baby steps.
Well, I like the way the Aborigines live in this universe with their songs and their song lines and, you know, free of concepts. And it's a really beautiful, I think about that because I think I can't, I, you know, I do believe that we choose our realities. I absolutely believe that. And, you know, I believe that it's a moment-by-moment choice that we make. There have been 3 major earthquakes in the last 10 minutes on the planet in different places. Fiji, Chile, and Indonesia. They're just coming in on my email.
Blessing this movement. There's lots of movement going on.
Well, there is so much going on. I mean, you know, there's so much going on with the poles shifting and I feel that, you know, Kay, can I tell people what card you are?
Sure.
She's a Pisces, 2 of Spades, because I felt somebody wanting to know a few minutes ago, listening to you talk. And I thought I should tell them what you are. You are a Pisces, 2 of Spades, so she's sharing her wisdom with us. So I want to give a little time for people to call in a bit, and I want to know if you know, I think your message is really clear. Kay has a new book that just came out. Do you want to talk a little bit about your book?
I'd love to. I'm so happy with this new book. It's called Gateways to the Soul, Heart of Astrology, and I co-authored this book with a dear friend of mine, Margaret Kuhlman, who lives in England. And we designed this book so you can use your own birth chart, birth information, and go through this book and read the very advanced, in-depth spiritual knowledge that we've been able to share in this book. So it just came out, and you can purchase it through our website, which is globalfamilyeducation.com. Or through Amazon, if that's easier, or internationally. So I'm very delighted to have this out. It makes a great, great Christmas present and such a support for people seeking to really anchor themselves in differently for the year 2009. So I do love this book, and my friend in Maui designed the cover, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's very easy to read, and the information's great. So I think it's a good book for anybody, for mm-hmm. their personal use or to enhance their, you know, learning if they're studying astrology or the cards or anything. It's nice.
And I think it's a nice companion to your wonderful work, Sharon, because since all of the cards are so interwoven at that deep level of the astrological information, it's like the more windows we can use to see this wisdom, the greater our opportunity is for growth.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's also good to know, I mean, I have this approach with the cards that it's like, the more understanding I have about the influences that are working with me, the greater possibilities I have for being awake and present in the moment and taking advantage of what's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the 9 of Spades, which I love to call the death card. Hanson, if you're out there, that one was for you. I've had the 9 of Spades in Pluto since my last birthday in April. And I've observed really an acuteness in my perception that's been enhanced more and more every day since my birthday. It's been really interesting to watch, because when I first saw it in there, I thought, okay, what's this going to be like? And I didn't have any preconceived, I'm going to be beaten to death by Pluto or anything, because the Nine of Spades is, it's a strong influence. And it's been really incredible how I've seen it manifesting in my perception. So I totally relate to what you were saying earlier. And looking at how Pluto was in Sagittarius before and opening everybody's mind, and now bringing it into Capricorn to bring that energy grounded, so that I think we relate to each other. We wake up and realize that we're all here together.
Right.
How are we going to do that? Because if all the money disappears and the food starts disappearing and the cars don't run anymore, I mean, if it really went that far, it's like we have each other. And, I went to visit a friend of mine today. He's 83, and he's in this wonderful house that's in a small assisted care place. And I just hung out with him for an hour, and he's there most of the time, and once in a while he goes somewhere else, and I just go with him. But, he looked at me at one point, and he said, my heart is dancing. He said, this is all there is. All we have is one another. And, it's true. And it's true across the board. And it's a really fascinating time to see how things are shaking down, literally feel like they're shaking down. You know what I mean?
Well, and Sharon, I can sure validate what you're saying about that all we have is each other, because after I went through the Hurricane Iniki on Kauai, that was September 11th, 1992. And for 5 hours, we had winds that were 167 mile an hour to 227 mile an hour. And there were about 51,000 of us on that little piece of land out there in the ocean. And after it was over, and for literally, it took about 7.5 years to really recover economically and in every way on the island, that I really realized it was probably one of the most exquisite clearings and equalizers I'd ever had in my life. And that's the place I'm holding our economic condition in the world right now, that it really is an equalizer that will let us know that we really matter to each other. The earth is truly our home for each and every one of us. And if we just find each other in that way, there are no limits to what we can do to heal ourselves as an ohana, family, community, nation, working together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a nice note to end on.
Thank you so much for the chance to be with you today, and holiday, happy holy days to each and every one of your listeners as well.
And thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm thrilled that you could do that. And again, Kay's website is globalfamilyeducation.com. Yep. And go there and see what she's doing. She's embracing the planet and teaching people through her wisdom of the planets and her soul purpose astrology. So, Kay, I want to thank you again for being here. And
thank you, Sharon, and blessings on this newly released book of yours. This will be such a support for more healthy, loving relationships on this planet, and that is the foundation for healthy families.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha, darling. So, yes, my new book, Love and Destiny, is out and about. it's been on Amazon for a while to pre-order, and I always pre-order one when they do that, so then I know when they're shipping because I get one. And I got mine on Monday. So they are shipping now, and I have them as well. And I want to just go over, in case you weren't listening at the beginning, a few events that I have listed right now. By next week, there'll probably be more. I'm going to be in Las Vegas January 15th through the 17th. And on the 16th, I am going to be doing a radio show at noon, Las Vegas time, the Cattell Stardate 2000 talk radio show. And that's www.alltalkradio.com is their website. It's an in-studio live interview, so I'm excited about that. And then I'm going to be available for sessions there in Las Vegas, in-person sessions, if people want to do readings with me, on the 16th and 17th. And if you'd like to talk to me about that, you can call me at 323-850-0812 after the radio show, or you can email me at starofthemagi@earthlink.net or sharon@starofthemagi.com. Then here in L.A., I'm going to be doing a book signing at the Mystic Journey Bookstore in Venice Beach on January 23rd at 7 p.m. And that's a new store. It's beautiful. It's great. And then I'm going to be at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore in West Hollywood on Valentine's Day, February 14th, from 2:30 to 4, doing a book signing. That's a Saturday. And what did I just think of? Oh, yes. I'm also going to be having a launch party in L.A., in West Hollywood. But I think it's going to be on the 6th of January, but I'm not sure. I'll know tomorrow. Anyway, lots going on all around my new book, which I'm really excited about. Barnes & Noble is doing a promotion on my book for Valentine's Day, so all their stores will have it out on the table. If you haven't been to my website or you haven't ever heard of the cards before or you want to ask me a question, you can call in now, and the line is open. If you're curious about learning more about this, you can go onto my website, starofthemagi.com, and click on the cards up in the top nav bar, and it'll take you to a place that tells, that describes about the cards, describes the relationship between the cards and the yearly calendar. And then beneath that, I have a little bit on the four suits, and then your four personal significators, very important cards. And an example of the life path. And then if you go on the front, on the home page of my website, on the right side, under the nav bar, you'll see a spade symbol that says, what's your card? If you click on that, it will take you to a calendar. And then you can click on your birthday. It will give you partial descriptions or brief descriptions of the cards. They're what the descriptions that are on my greeting card line. I have a greeting card line that's physically printed. You can order them on my website if you like. They make nice Christmas gifts and they look really nice framed. A lot of people buy them and frame them. And if you did get an email of my holiday specials, it's only through that email that you can order those specials, because on my website now, my books are at their retail price. So if you got that email, then that, I'm not sending that email out again, just so you know, that I will only honor from that one email. Okay, so enough of that business. If you want to call in, please call in. I have someone that sent me an email, and this is Jay, and I promised her that I would look at her card. And let's see. Jay is a jack of clubs. So I'm going to look at this. And she is 65 years of age. So I'm just going to take a quick look at your cards. And if anybody's following along, any of my students out there, we're starting with plate 55, which is a Neptune year. Oh, I have a caller. Yes? Hello?
Hi, Sharon.
Who is this?
This is Lucy.
Who?
Lucy?
Lucy!
Yes.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm having problems negotiating the terms of my divorce because my husband will say, okay, yes, we can do that, and then he never gets around to doing it.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to see if you saw things working out.
Okay, first of all, tell me your birthday.
8/27/70.
Okay, and your husband's birthday?
9/17/64.
Okay. So you're the Queen of Hearts. And you are a Virgo. And that would mean you're the Queen of Hearts, Ten of Clubs. And your husband, can you hear me okay?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can, but it's very muffled.
Okay, you're very muffled too. Are you on a cell phone?
I am.
Yeah, that's why. So, okay, so your age is 30?
My age?
Yeah.
No, I'm 38.
38. Oh, right. 70. This is why I asked. Because my simple math skills are challenged.
I have the same skills.
Well, it's good you know how old you are then. And your husband is 44?
Yes.
Oh, goody. Okay. So let me just look first at the composite between the two of you. Because this is something that can be very profound and can give us a lot of information. So you guys have a Six of Diamonds relationship.
So we have a what?
In the cards, you're the Queen of Hearts and he's the Seven of Clubs. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Okay. So this is a system when you, after we get off the call, you might want to look at my website and look at your birthday.
Okay.
Because each day of the year is governed by a specific card in the deck. And you were born on a Queen of Hearts day. Let me just double check that. I'm absolutely sure that's true, though. You were born on a Queen of Hearts day, and he was born on a Seven of Clubs day. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You, first of all, you're Saturn to him. That's a little tough. But the thing I'm looking at first here is when I put your two birth cards together, we get a Six of Diamonds composite. Now, that means that the Six of Diamonds is actually the card that governs the relationship and the life path of the relationship. And the Six of Diamonds, it's a generous, loving, very sexy, passionate, fabulous card. It's also got a lot of attitude, like fixed ideas, stubbornness, it's my way or the highway type attitude.
Okay. Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, very familiar.
Yes. So those dynamics will manifest in the relationship. Now, I just wrote a whole book on this. This is my book that just got released this month.
Wow.
Yes. So I'm going to read you a little excerpt out of my book since I
okay.
can. And, you know, what I, the subtitle for the Six of Diamonds for me, for the relationship, is responsibility to value.
Well, that can sum up.
Okay, so I'm just going to read what I wrote here. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's pretty long.
Okay.
Six-based relationships are often a reunion of some sort from either this lifetime or another. And it is often more than likely that the hand of fate brought the two of you together this time. The question might be, why? Now, I want to say something about this. I'm not reading now, I'm talking.
Okay.
A lot of times we connect with someone from the past that we have a long-time soul connection with. There are people that we journey lifetime after lifetime after lifetime with. And, you know, one lifetime may be one kind of connection, and then we'll come into this lifetime and we'll meet that person, and we'll feel like the remnants of the last time we were together. But perhaps that's not exactly what's happening this lifetime. And so this kind of relationship, this connection in the Six of Diamonds, is that kind of connection. It's absolutely, it was meant to be that you connected.
Okay.
There's tremendous learning in this relationship. And the card represents responsibility to higher values. And what you value will be the key component to making this connection work or not. So it's, the whole relationship is based on each of you being responsible to what you value most. And if those values aren't shared, it makes things really challenging. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sharing and talking are the magic elements to making this a great working relationship. You will have to remind yourself and perhaps each other not to take things too seriously, as doing so can lead to the development of difficult or fixed behaviors in your communication. This is a strong-willed card, and there will be times when you butt heads, debate your opinions, and simply want to spar a bit with language and your mind. I'm being diplomatic there. These can be good fun, as long as that's how you perceive them. The secret lies in your ability to maintain your senses of humor. If you take things too personally or yourself too seriously, the fun can quickly turn into ego battles and power struggles, which can be hard to recover from. I'm not going to read any more in this because it's too long. And for, I just want to say, for those of you that ordered your book from me, they've gone in the mail, so you're going to get them any day. So, but what I want to say to you is, understanding the dynamics, first of who you are as a Queen of Hearts and who he is as a Seven of Clubs, and then the relationship that that creates when you come together, is the first thing that has to happen before you make decisions. Because there's a lot more written about that card and about that relationship. And if you look at all that and realize that you are taking yourself too seriously, or he's taking himself too seriously, of course, we can't judge that for someone else because then we're just projecting, right? let me look at your age 38 and see what's going on. Are you separated?
Well, I've filed for divorce. But now working the terms out is the problem, because he says, you know, okay, he'll agree with this, and then at the last minute he's not doing anything, or he's always coming up with an excuse as to, oh, they didn't return my call. You know, he's always got an excuse for why he didn't do something.
Uh-huh. Well, he probably doesn't want the divorce.
I understand that he doesn't want the divorce, but the whole thing is that I've been with him for 15 years,
uh-huh.
and I found out that he's never, ever been faithful to me. There have been hundreds of women.
Yeah, they can be shysters, the Seven of Clubs. They're very charming. And
yeah.
His soul card is the Jack of Spades, which is a card of, on the shadow side, a card of deception. So, well, between his, let me see something. What's his planetary ruling card? The Five of Diamonds. Okay, let me look where you are. So, what was your initial question to me? You asked me
if everything was going to be worked out with the terms of the divorce.
The way you want them. You
the
mean
way
the way
I
you want them?
The way, yeah, will they be worked out the way that I want them?
Are you clear?
Yeah, I think I'm very clear.
Okay. I would say they are, but I think he's being a little deceptive.
On his part?
Yes. Is there something that he's withholding or? I mean,
what?
He's intentionally, you know this, that
yeah.
His avoidance is intentional.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, all of a sudden now his business isn't making any money and he seems to be crying poor me.
Well? Well, you have some really powerful cards.
Okay.
I think you definitely have, you know, a lot of movement around divorce and change and things ending relationship-wise. Age 44 is a tough, it can be a tough year. It's a soul review. So, you know, I would think that's a little bit in his face, but he's probably in his head quite a bit right now.
He's always in his head.
Uh-huh. Well, he's born in the club suit, and that's the clubs rule the mental realm. So the clubs live in their heads. They think thoughts are real.
He lives in his own world, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see the potential for things going the way you want them to go. It looks like if maybe you've had some moments where you weren't sure that this was the right direction. Did you have any of those moments?
I did, because, you know, I thought about just walking away and getting my freedom. But then, you know, I've been with him for so long that I think I deserve what's fair to me. And I just think that he would try and fight me in every way just so that he can say, I won, or I didn't have to give her anything.
So you're engaged in the battle.
Right. Like, I go between, you know, thinking, oh, I should just walk away and just leave, you know, so I can have my freedom and be happy and not worry about it. But then part of me says, you know, don't be stupid because, you know, he owes you something. And it's not, I don't want to be greedy. I just want to be fair.
Mm-hmm. You have the Seven of Diamonds behind you, age 38. And the card that stands behind us is sharing its wisdom with us. That energy moves through us, and it comes to enlighten us. And the Seven of Diamonds is the card that unites spirit and matter, and it teaches us to unite our spiritual values with our material values so that they're completely aligned as one. So for you, that is the most important thing. The most important thing is your experience of who you are and how you are in integrity with yourself and
yes.
Your higher values. This is the union of heaven and earth. And so that is the energy that wants to enlighten you right now, age 38. So you have to be very careful that you don't step into the resentment part and go, well, he owes me something here. Because, you know, you could trap yourself in a place of not being able to see where life wants to take you.
Okay.
I like it when you say, I just want to be free. And I'm not saying you shouldn't ask for anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying be really careful that you tune in to your intuitive self and, ooh, gosh, I've gone over my time. And be clear with that. I'm sorry, I have to get off the air. I just looked at the clock.
Okay. Well,
thank you so much for calling, Lucy.
Thank you for your insight
and
your input.
Check out my website and look on your cards and stuff.
Yes, I want to check out your book.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I ran over my time. I'm sorry. And I will see you next week. And have a great week. Bye.